Here this morning. It's so good to be able to come to the Lord's house one more time to worship and to see you and to just know and to tell you that the Lord loves you very much. I want you to know that if you are a visitor with us this morning, there should be some visitor cards if they're in the front of your chair. Would you please fill those out and don't forget about our attendance seats that are also located on the aisles as well. So, with that said, let's see. Guess what, folks? I get to play Gene this morning. Amen? Amen. Now, I don't look like him, but, you know, just pretend like I'm Gene, okay? All right? Amen. If you would, if you have your Bibles with you, I hope you do. I hope you do. Because that Bible is your what? That's your sword. That is your sword. That's how what you use to fight against the enemy. Amen? That's what you use to work against him. God's Word. God's Word this morning, it comes from Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read just the first verses 1 through just verses 1 and 2. Would you please stand when we read God's Word in honor of God's Word? Amen. Please stand with me. Amen. Amen. Listen for God's Word. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Okay. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for enabling us to worship with one more day. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you, Lord, that for your birth is our hope. We thank you, Jesus, for watching over each one of us. And Lord, today, if there are those that may be burdened down, we pray that this will be the day that they lay their burdens down at your feet. And Lord, that they will walk away from this place free and able to worship you. Thank you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and pass the peace to each other? You know, I never have quite figured out how do you pass peace.
Oh, peace? No, that's not that.
No. I guess it's your turn.
Congregation, please be seated.
Thank you.
Advent candle this morning?
To remind us of the hope, the Advent hope, in which all ages have looked forward to the coming of the Lord. In the days after that time of trouble, the sun will grow dark, the moon will no longer shine, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers in space will be driven from their courses. Then the Son of Man will appear, coming in the clouds with great power and glory. He will send the angels out to the four corners of the earth to gather God's chosen people from one end of the earth to the other. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your promise to return to this world, not as a tiny baby, but as a triumphant king. Keep us watchful against temptation and joyous in your service. For your name's sake, amen.
Would you stand for our opening hymn? It came upon a midnight clear.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely they bend on hovering wing. The ever o'er its babel sounds the blessed angels sing, and yea, beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing.
Congregation, please be seated.
I changed up the order of service this morning. We're not going to have Lance's reading, so we're going to move right to the offertory prayer. Amen? Amen. You know, in giving is a very, very important part of our worship. In fact, the Bible teaches us that if we are grateful givers, and we sow a lot, then the Lord says that you will reap a lot. So this morning, I would encourage you to give without being grudging, give it from the heart, and give generously. Amen? Amen.
For our offertory this morning, I'm going to do an old German song. It dates back to at least the 1500s, and the music portion of it can be traced back as far as 1609. I'll do both the German version and the English.
Okay. Hold on, Tom. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this offering. Bless those that give, those that have it and don't desire to give and don't have it. We pray that you would open up our hearts, Lord. Open my heart to the fact that giving is the way that we express our love to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Es ist ein Herz entsprungen aus einer Wechselzeit, wie und die alten Sungen von Jesus um die Art und hat ein Blümlein brach mit in dem kalten
choir. Amen. Amen.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Let us pray. God of hope, who brought love into this world, be the love that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought peace into this world, be the peace that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought joy into this world, be the joy that dwells
yes, Lord.
Between us.
Yes.
God of hope, the rock we stand upon, be the center, the focus of our lives, always and particularly this Advent time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to take a moment to open yourself to the peace of Christ. As we come to the point now where we hear the message that the Holy Spirit has given us, let us pray. Father, we come seeking, we come thirsting for your word. We know that you have given a message from your Holy Spirit, and it will be delivered through our pastor. We ask that you strengthen Pastor Ted, that you give him the courage to be but an instrument. Let him put aside what is human and take on what is your will. Help us to hear your word, but not only to hear it, but to use it. We come seeking, but we come as vessels to take your word to the world. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning. This morning I brought a present, but we can't open it yet. We have to wait. What other kinds of things do we have to wait for? Can you think of something, Yasmin? Maybe for your birthday? You have to wait for that? What can you think of that you have to wait for?
For something to cook?
For something to cook, we have to wait for it to get done. Maybe for school to be out so you can be off for Christmas break, you have to wait for that, right? For Christmas we have to wait, that's right. And now that we've been waiting a little bit, I'm going to let you open this box. Can you open it for me? And take out the present that's in it. Oh, some Q-tips. That's kind of disappointing, isn't it? Gee, would this be an exciting Christmas present? No, I agree with you. Well, the expectations of the Jews were not quite met at Christmas either. You see, they were expecting a powerful warrior, a king, a Messiah, to deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. And so we're going to talk about how God surprised them. What are the best parts about Christmas? What are the best parts?
Stockings, and for the best part of my Christmas is to see Delilah and them because we can play games. And
you can play games. What's your best part of your Christmas?
When it reminds me of Jesus was born.
That's right. It reminds us that that's when Jesus was born, right? Anybody else have a best part of their Christmas? Madison, what's the best part of your Christmas?
Being with our family and remembering Jesus.
Yes, having family around in Jesus. Well, Why do we celebrate Christmas to begin with? I think you guys have already answered that. It's because of Jesus. What do you think people were awaiting in Jesus' time? Do you think they were waiting for Jesus to be born? You think so? Well, they'd been waiting a long time, hadn't they? Thousands of years. And for many years, God's people suffered because they were experiencing trials and slavery and fear. And God sent the prophets, and the prophets told them that there was a Messiah who was going to come, and he was on the way. Do you remember any of the prophets' names? Laura, you remember some? Maybe Isaiah, and who else? Jeremiah. Well, you know, Jeremiah said that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. And that was the foretelling of Jesus coming. Now, today, we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent. That's why you see the Advent wreath up there. Do you know what Advent means? What does it mean?
Advent is a Christian weekly thing where there's five candles, and all five candles represent a symbol.
Waiting, right, for Jesus. We light a candle each week. There's 4 weeks, and we're waiting for the coming. But we just said Jesus was born. So what are we waiting for now?
Him to come back.
That's right. We're waiting for him to come back. You see, he told the disciples when he was on earth, he said that in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again and receive you to myself. So we have that promise that he's coming back, and we're hoping and waiting that maybe this year he will come back at Christmas again. So we don't know when he'll come, and we're not supposed to live our lives like he's coming tomorrow, so we don't have to worry about, you don't have to do the dishes today because he'll be here tomorrow. We're not waiting like that. But Jesus tells us while we're waiting, we should spread the good news. We should tell all the people we can and all our friends about Jesus and how he's coming back one day. And then we can live in joyful anticipation, recognizing that whether in our lifetime or after our lifetime, we live for Jesus. Amen. And he is the ultimate reason for everything.
Amen.
So let's pray this morning, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to us on that Christmas morning long ago. Please help us to tell others about you.
Please help us to tell others about you.
And please come again quickly.
Come again quickly.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your attention.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Amen. So glad to see each one of you here this morning. This morning's message is about hope. Hope. Actually, we're going to do a series this Advent season, and that series is going to be focused around hope. And this first message from this series is called The Gift of Hope. The Gift of Hope. Now, I remember as a kid growing up, I wanted Santa Claus to bring me something really bad. I guess I was no more than 8 or 9 years old. Some of you are way too young to know anything about this old Western TV program. They called it Have Gun, Will Travel. Anybody ever heard of that? Oh my goodness, you folks are older than what I thought you were. But anyway, I saw this little gun set. It had a little gun right here, and it had the little card on there. It says, Paladin, have gun, will travel. And that's what I wanted. I mean, I didn't care about anything else. I wanted that gun set. And by golly, I was really hoping that my dad would get that for me. You know what? I got up that morning, and there that gun set was. There was my gun set. So the hope that I was looking for, I got that gun set. And I was going around, you know, just being Paladin. Whatever Paladin did, that's what I was going to do. But you know what? For us folks, that hope, a hope in Christ. It's a hope in Christ that we're looking for. It's that hope in Christ that keeps us going, that keeps us motivated, that keeps us moving forward in Christ. So I trust and pray this morning that your hope is in Christ. Because if it's not, then it needs to be. Amen? Because I don't know if you notice this or not. You put your hope in the government. You put your hope in people. You put your hope in Christ. Amen. He's going to carry you through. Amen? So let's get started with this series. And we're gonna take a journey through Romans 12:12. Romans 12:12 says this. It says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Joyful in hope. You know, so we've got to learn as Christians that we must be joyful always. And not just hope, but rejoice in confident hope. Here's one of my stories about my favorite sports team, the Dallas Cowboys. I hope every Sunday that they play, that they win. I hope they beat everybody they play. You know, sometimes it happens. Sometimes it's not so good. You know, and the more the Cowboys won, the more confidence that I had that they were going to go all the way to the Super Bowl. So in John 16:33, you know, we have a wonderful verse that the Lord has given us. I'm sorry, I left that over there on the table. Okay. John 16:33 says this, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Now, you may have heard this verse before. And you know that the world is full of things that really don't excite us. Instead, they draw us into a deep pit of despair. And if you don't believe me, just keep watching the news. But the Bible says that we can overcome the things of the world, just as Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Therefore, we not only have hope, folks, but we can be confident and bold in hope. Hebrews 4:16 says that let us then approach God's throne of grace with what? Confidence, so that we may receive help for us in our time of need. We have hope and confidence in that hope that when we bring things to God through Jesus Christ, the throne of grace, God's going to hear us and he's going to help us and give us what we need. So we have that blessed confidence and hope, and we need that so that we might go on our journey. Now, the verse in Hebrews 4:16, It says that regardless of who Hebrews, you know, I would say that regardless of who the writer of Hebrew was, and people are still debating that, it reminds us that as it relates to prayer, that we can approach God's throne with the utmost confidence. And that confidence, it doesn't originate with us as human beings, This is the confidence that comes through the victory won in Christ. You see, folks, no longer is sin a separating factor in our to be intimate with God. Now, if we choose to come close to God, we can come close to Him through Christ. And let's look at the next part of that verse as well. It says, be what? It says to be patient in affliction. Patient in affliction. Or be patient in trouble. But even though we got hope, that doesn't mean that everything is going to always work out for us. And if many of you already know, sometimes we just have issues and problems that we just don't understand. In fact, some of you may be going through some things even right now. Even right now. Maybe you might be feeling the real effects of trouble that for one reason or another has come into your life. But Paul calls us to do this. To be what? To be patient. You know, and if you look at what he's talking about here in the context of this verse, we see that it kind of goes along with our the first statement, rejoice in hope. You see, hope is just not a present reality, but it looks ahead to the future. You know, Paul is calling us not only to remain focused on our today, but also what's in our future as followers of Christ. And what is our future? We have eternal life in heaven with God. So I want you to get excited about that. You can rejoice in hope, and then you can be patient in your affliction. And in Acts 1:9, we read the other scripture, Acts 1:9-11. We can find that the Lord talks about
where is that? There it is.
Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, and when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing looking into the sky? This very same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven." We have that hope, and we must be patient in our affliction, in our trouble, and remember that the Lord will always help us through our time. You see, the good news today for you and me is that even though there's trouble, there is kingdom work to be done. Here's what the devil would hate most. This is what he really doesn't like about you. When you strive to do kingdom-minded work, strive to serve the Lord, even in the middle of the toughest season of your life, that means that even though things are not going so well for you, you can keep going for the Lord. You see, you in those seasons, we want to have patience waiting for Christ's return. And while we're waiting, we just don't sit at home and watch the Cowboys on the couch. What we do is we're out there telling other folks about the Lord. We're reading our Bible. We're praying, and we're waiting patiently on the Lord. Waiting patiently. Being patient in the face of trouble, like I said, it doesn't mean that you just kind of sit back and do nothing. Keep going in your life, in your walk with the Lord, even when things are not so good. And the third part of this verse that we'll look at is keep on praying, folks. I can't stress that enough. Keep on praying. Don't give up, even though things are not going well. Be faithful in your prayer life. Be faithful in your prayer life. You see, when you're faithful in your prayer life, that's how you draw close to the Lord. You keep on praying. You know, sometimes at night or whenever, I don't feel much like praying. I say, "Lord, I just don't feel like praying. I don't even know what to say. What am I going to do? You know, I'm I got so much wrapped up with so much stuff, and you know, stuff's on my mind. But I can assure you this. I can assure you this. You need to make time for prayer. Even though you don't feel like praying, you ought to pray. Because that's when the Lord will most likely, he will hear you, because he'll hear you. But when you don't feel like praying, but you press your way through and you say, I don't care what I'm going through, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to seek his face. I'm going to worship him. That's when you begin to really grow. You know why? Because prayer increases the intimacy with the Lord. Prayer starts a dialogue between us and him, him being God. And prayer is very, very powerful. Here is a verse from Romans 8:20, chapter 8, 26 through 27, that will help you to understand that. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So this morning, I want you to do this in your journey. I want you to create some space for your prayer life. I want you, if you haven't already done that, and I want to encourage everybody here today to take some time to talk with God. You know, it might have been a long time since you did this, but you ought to take some time. Whatever your story is, whatever you're going through, I can assure you that God is ready for you, and he wants to hear from you. He wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to experience the thrill of hope that is only available through him. And you know what, folks? And if God didn't love you so much, if he didn't want to hear from you, why in the world would he have sent his blessed son in the first place? You see, there'd be no need for Advent celebration. And everything that we do, we would be doing for nothing. But you know what, folks? Jesus did come, and he did live, and he did die with the weight of our sin on his shoulders. Now, I don't know how heavy your burden feels today, but I do know this. I know that Jesus can handle them. So I want you to talk to him today, and I want you to share your heart with him, because the time is drawing short, and we need to be ever mindful that Jesus is coming back, because the way this world is going, we're not sure what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to be here one day or the next, but I would encourage you to keep this season, this Advent season, this Christmas season, put your focus on Jesus. Amen? Oh, the lights are great. The presents are awesome. But Jesus is far better. Put your concentration on him. Think about him. And you know what, folks? While you're thinking about him, think about this. Think about telling others about his blessed love. Tell others about how they, too, can share and be part of this wonderful life that Christ has for us. As I close this morning, I want to say this. We had the opportunity to go to a meeting yesterday at Alamo Heights United Methodist Church. And one of the things, the speaker said a lot of great things, but something that really stuck out in my mind, something that I was guilty of. And I'll ask you this. When's the last time that you invited someone to church? When's the last time that you said, hey, come down to Alamo United Methodist Church with me? You know, there's something going on down there. The word's being preached. Come down and hear us. Think about that. And that stuck, that kind of hit me in my heart, because I hadn't been doing that. So I want to encourage you, invite someone. Now, you ain't got to beat them over the head. Just say, hey. You know, What was the verse, Harriet, that he said? See if you can remember it. That Jesus told when Nathaniel and Philip, he said, "Come and see. Just come and see. Just tell people, come and see what's going on." Amen. Well, I don't know what to say. I can't speak. You know, I can't preach. You don't have to preach. You don't have to. Come and see. Just come and see. Invite folks to come to come to your church. You see, if you don't, some people, they may be the only time that they ever hear about it if you don't invite them. So I encourage you to invite others. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to share your story. Don't be afraid to tell others about Jesus. Now, it got to me many years ago. They scared me so bad till I had to come to Jesus. That preacher told me about hell and I didn't want to go to hell. And it frightened me right on up to that front. But you know what, folks? I'm so glad it did. I really am. Because I don't know what I would have done if that wouldn't happen. And I'm not telling you to tell folks they're going to hell. I didn't say that. But I want you to invite them. Invite them. Invite them to where you are. And just so they can see. Now, to be able to invite them, you've got to be straight with Jesus. Amen? You got to be right with him. Your heart's got to be right. So today, get things right with the Lord. Get things right with him. And when I say get things right with him, if you're doing something that you ain't got no business doing, then you ought to stop doing it. Amen? I don't have to name what it is. You know very well what you're doing. Stop doing it. Give it to Jesus and do that. And when you do that, folks, then you'll be able to tell your story. Then you'll be able to walk with confidence in the hope that Christ has given you. And with that hope he's given us, Jesus said, "Don't be concerned, don't worry about it. I have overcome the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Amen. As we prepare for communion this morning, I want you to understand that God's table is open to everyone. Open to everyone that repents, earnestly repents of their sins. So, before you take communion this morning, if there's something on your heart, you've got a grudge against somebody, things are not going right, I would encourage you to bring it to the altar and give it to the Lord. Amen? You don't have to give it to me. I have no heaven or hell to put you in. But Jesus does. Give it to Jesus. He'll take it. He'll forgive you for it. So remember to do that. That's very, very important. Because as we feast at his table, that's his table. His table for his people. So we want to make sure that we're doing it the right heart and the right motivation. And also, don't forget about the our agape baskets here. Please place your agape offering in the basket. Let us prepare for our... Go ahead.
Would you stand for our hymn of invitation? Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates.
Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates, behold the King of glory reigns. The King of kings is coming near, the Savior of the world is
be seated. It's page 12 in your United Methodist hymnal. Page 12. The invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, who seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your law. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy,
holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might,
heaven and earth are
full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you and broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Communion stewards, would you please come forward? When you come to the rail for the sacrament, we ask that the back row only would come forward. Back row on this side would come forward on this for this rail, and on that side, you can on this rail. Would you please come? Back row only. This is his body that was broken for you on the cross. Take and eat. And this is his blood that was shed for you on the cross for the remission of sins. Take and drink all of it. Amen. May God bless you. You may now go in peace. Next row, back row on this side and this side. Please come to the rail. Back row only. Next row, next to the back. Lord loves those that are slow as well as those that are fast. So don't y'all worry about it, all right? He loves you. He'll take care of you. Amen. This is his body that was broken for you on the cross. Take and eat. And this is his blood that was shed for you for the remission of sin. Take and drink. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Now you may go in peace. Thank you, John. At this time, as we prepare to pray, I want you to be mindful of this. The Lord is willing to hear your prayers. And don't forget to pray for each other. Amen? Don't forget your neighbors. Pray for your neighbors as well. Pray for your co-workers, the folks that get on your nerve. Pray for them as well. Pray that the Lord would bless them. Would you please stand with me, please? Hold hands with someone if you can. If you're able to. Amen. 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 Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, you've been so good to us today. Even Lord, when we don't deserve it, you've been right there for us. Even Lord, when we were going down the wrong road, you turned us around and gave us another chance. For that, Lord, we're so thankful. Now, Lord, as you send us out as sheep among the wolves, I pray that you would be with us. Help us to take this light with us wherever we go. And, Lord, help us to always remember that it's about you and not about us. And, Lord, there's nothing that we can do without your love and without your spirit in us. We thank you for this, Lord. We ask this in your precious name. Amen and amen. Amen.
You remain standing for our closing hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply.
Gloria in excelsis Deo.